Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Simply Safe's been making people feel safe at home for 15 years. Go to simplysafecolin.com today. Customize your system. SimplySafeColin.com with a free security camera. Show flying by today. Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, NBA writer, covering the league for 18 years, has his podcast, The Crossover with Chris Mannix, and he is joining us live. So I guess the question I'll start with, and everybody's talking about it, is Giannis officially this morning, Chris, face of the league?
No. I think his stock rose to an all-time high, obviously. I think he established himself on a different level of the all-time greats. I think to be the face of the league, though, you have to do it more than once. And this was such a unique season because of the COVID issues, because of the injuries. I think for Giannis to be defined, like, I don't think LeBron became the face of the league after the first championship. I think it took that Miami run to really give him a stronghold as the face of the league. I think for Giannis, it's going to be important for him and the Bucks to come out next year and beat Brooklyn at full strength, beat Philadelphia, beat the top teams in the Eastern Conference, and maybe beat LeBron and the Lakers next year. It takes nothing away from this championship, but if you want to, you know, say this is the guy now, I do think it has to happen more than once.
It's interesting. Three straight years, Toronto, Lakers, Bucks. Big, physical, at times lumbering teams. Not the analytic maven's favorite three-point shooting team. Big, physical, older teams have won the title. What does that tell you about the league, analytics, three balls, and a trend?
Well, yeah, the last 2 years have been so odd that I don't want to read too much into them. And I'm just always hesitant, Colin, to make sweeping, you know, proclamations after this season, because I fully believe that a healthy Brooklyn team has a pretty good chance of steamrolling everybody next year. And I'm sure you've talked about it. It's been discussed ad nauseum. I mean, the Bucks were a Kevin Durant toe from potentially going home in that second round. And they were one injury from potentially losing in six games of that series. So I don't want to discount, you know, the three-point bombing that Brooklyn's going to do next year and say that the game has shifted. But in the postseason, you've got to have a physical team, or at least a team that's comfortable with physical play. One of the things I saw over the course of this series was DeAndre Ayton getting a little bit uncomfortable with the physicality.
Yeah.
And this is a physical guy, yeah, who was a linchpin of that defense. But you saw, especially in those last couple of games, and some of it you can chalk up to minutes. He played a lot of minutes,
yeah,
in game number five. He was in foul trouble in game six. But before then, he was getting grinded out by Monty Williams. He just looked tentative. And I think if you get deeper into the playoffs, you've got to have guys that are either, you know, big and physical, or at least comfortable with a high degree of physicality.
You know, it's interesting. They've called forever. They've called the NFL a copycat league, and I always go back to the Wildcat. Even the Patriots with Brady hiked the ball to running backs a few times. Like, the NFL copies. Basketball doesn't, but there are people that will look at this Milwaukee team and say, "Listen, man, physical still matters." And, you know, teams will build rosters now. I mean, like, the Lakers with AD look like they could at least match up to Milwaukee. Phoenix needs another body. Do you think, when you look at the East, this is why I've said this week, Chris, and I may be out of my gourd, but I watched it last night and I said it feels a little like San Antonio. They needed Kobe and Shaq to divorce, clear the runway. They won 3 of 5. They had a committed, quiet, reticent star, no shoe deal, didn't care, all about family, with a Popovich coach. Now Popovich is a buy. Then they had nice ancillary pieces. Chris Middleton, second-round guy. Manu, second-round guy. Tony Parker, late first. Drew Holiday, late first. it does feel to me LeBron's out of the East. Kawhi's out of the East. Philadelphia's falling apart. Boston will make a move. Heat need a rebuild. I know, I don't want to overreact, but it does feel like we could have a San Antonio kind of work in here. I mean, Giannis is 26 and getting better.
Again, maybe. I just, like, if we're sitting here, Colin, a year from now, I would guess we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets.
All right.
I just can't get over the level of talent they're going to bring back next season. And, you know, the Bucks will have obvious chemistry advantages. One of the smartest things they did was trading for Jrue Holiday and then locking up Jrue Holiday long-term. I don't know if they're going to be able to bring back Bobby Portis. Financially, he'd have to take, I think, a pretty decent discount to come back and play with Milwaukee. They've got Dante DiVincenzo. They've got Pat Connaughton. They've got some good players, and they'll be competitive at the highest level against anybody. But how many times have we seen super teams just win based on their talent alone? And I'm sorry, I can't, despite what Milwaukee did, and they should be incredibly proud of it, you ask me who wins the Eastern Conference next year, I'm going to say it's Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's because Kevin Durant is great, James Harden is great, Kyrie Irving is great, and they will find a way. Look, Colin, at the buyout deadline, everybody trying to get there. I mean, Blake Griffin got there. LaMarcus Aldridge, we all thought he was going to sign with Miami. He goes and plays in Brooklyn. There are going to be a handful of guys looking to take discounts, whether it's this offseason or at the buyout deadline next year, to go play for the Brooklyn Nets. And that's going to be enough, I think, for them to flesh out their roster.
All right, let's talk Phoenix. Chris Paul could opt out. Now, I'm LeBron James. Here's my sales pitch. Listen, you're not beating Milwaukee without an AD. Okay, you got to have a bot. You don't have anybody on that roster that can stop him. We have experience. You and I, we got a couple years left. We're best friends. You love LA. You still have a home here. I can make a compelling argument if I was LeBron. Hey, Phoenix is great. You really think next year, AD, me and you, Phoenix is beating us. Do you think Chris takes that phone call, or do you think he stays in Phoenix?
I think he stays in Phoenix. I think financially, the Lakers can't do anything.
Yeah.
And this is Chris Paul's last chance to make a big, big deal. I mean, he is going to get a three-year deal in the neighborhood of $100 million, whether it's through Phoenix with an opt-in and an extension or a new deal. And if not Phoenix, I think New York is going to be the team that is the biggest competition to the Suns to get Chris Paul. I mean, they can make the pitch that, look, we're obviously not there, but you add a great point guard like yourself to our mix, we've got the potential to compete with everybody in that Eastern Conference. I do think that Chris's commitment and desire to be in Phoenix is pretty strong. Remember, this wasn't a situation where he was just traded to Phoenix for assets. This was a partnership he had with Oklahoma City, where he sat down with Sam Presti and he told the Thunder, look, I love Devin Booker. I love Monty Williams. Phoenix is a short hop from LA where I live. I want to go to Phoenix. All those things are still present with the Suns right now. So unless the Suns screw this up with the money, which when I talk to executives, that's what comes up most often with Robert Sarver, the owner there, and maybe a little nickel and diming that goes along, then I think Chris Paul stays with the Suns. One thing I would say about the LeBron-Chris Paul relationship is interesting to me because they have been friends for a long time. That their friendship is as strong as it used to be. And I'm basing that largely on some of the public comments LeBron made in this past season. I mean, LeBron was the first guy to really tattoo the All-Star game. So this is stupid. Why are we doing? Well, that was Chris Paul's idea. LeBron came out and said, all these injuries are happening. This is what I warned you about with the schedule. Well, Chris Paul's the president of the Players Association. He is, you know, basically the point person with all that. So in criticizing those decisions, which are made, by the way, in lockstep with the union, LeBron, in a way, is criticizing Chris Paul. And I think Chris talked about this at the start of the finals, where he said, look, every player's got a voice here. He kind of pushed back on LeBron on that one. So I don't know that it's as simple as LeBron saying, I want you, and Chris Paul saying, I'm coming.
Good stuff. Chris Mannix, as always, senior writer, Sports Illustrated. Good talking to you, bud.
You got it, Colin.
It is interesting. You know, thinking about Giannis for a second. So Jordan was a six-time All-Star, Joy. at 26 years old. No titles. LeBron was a seven-time All-Star at 26. No titles. Giannis is a five-time All-Star, a two-time MVP, a title, and a Finals MVP. And whereas MJ, we know this from the documentary, tough to play for, and LeBron, basically the offense has to be LeBron, you start looking at those three. Giannis, to me, would be a lot of fun to play with. He'll be the rim protector. Most guys don't want to do that. Stay back on defense. They guys want to get out in the break. He'll be the rim protector. He'll guard the best player on the other team. He won't take the final shot. Michael was going to do it, and if he didn't, it was based on Michael's willingness to give it up. And he'll be available. He doesn't get hurt. AD does. KD does. Kyrie does. So, look. The other thing when you play with the other stars in the league, Kawhi is going to be out next year. AD just got hurt this year. Kyrie, KD hurt this year. Embiid hurt this year. A lot of these stars that are older, because most of the NBA stars are older. Giannis is, like Zion's a star, but like Giannis is in like that Embiid, LeBron class. Like he's big. A lot of the older stars, Joy, they've got like a lot of wear on the legs, a lot of wears on the feet, and they break down. So when you go play with Giannis, you're going to play. He's going to play 78 of the 82 games. So, you know, people say, well, you'd have to, you know, live in Milwaukee. Well, the end of an NBA season, the last 2 months or summer, Wisconsin summers are amazing. My wife grew up around there. Like, Wisconsin summers are amazing.
Yeah, or you could, like, live in New York and lose all the time.
Like, every other star.
I just don't believe in where you are anymore. I just don't think that it matters. As far as popularity goes and things like that, is there value to being in Los Angeles and New York City and Chicago and Miami? Yes. San Francisco.
Prime example. If you told me summers in Milwaukee or summers in Phoenix, I'd rather live in Milwaukee.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I've been to Phoenix 1,000 times. I would never be there June, July, August, or September.
Right.
So it's like at the end of an NBA season, summer, I'd take Milwaukee over Phoenix.
Okay, but also the quality of life is not just determined by if you're living in Milwaukee and what that is. Like, everybody doesn't like to go out all the time. Everybody doesn't like that kind of lifestyle. Like, sometimes you just like to chill. Also, you're traveling quite a bit.
Yeah.
So you're going to get to see all those places anyway. That's how the NBA works.
I may be nuts here. I think Milwaukee has a chance. I would like to see them get another shooter. They need it. Like, Phoenix needs another big. Milwaukee could really use a 6'7".
I think Phoenix could use another shooter as well.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think they need tweaking.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I have Giannis, Drew Holiday, and Middleton, and Brooke Lopez backing them up, I'm a pretty good basketball team. Especially in the East right now. I'm a pretty good basketball team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, speaking of all those numbers that you just read about what Michael had done at 26 and LeBron had done at 26 and now Giannis, 5 All-Star appearances, 2 league MVPs, and 1 NBA title with Finals MVP.
It's something.
We've done a lot of comparisons to the Bucks and the Spurs today. Tim Duncan, through age 26, 5-time All-Star, 2-time MVP, 2-time NBA champ. So really the comparison is not LeBron and Michael. It's really Tim Duncan.
Yes. And the team is compared to the Spurs.
It's very similar,
And the knock on the Spurs was, during the Spurs' run, the ratings were down because Shaq and Kobe had huge ratings. They broke up, and the Spurs just didn't have that national. They weren't a headline team. They would take, their stars would take multiple days off. Pop started kind of manipulating the schedule. And so I think Milwaukee feels like San Antonio, a cold weather version. But there's a lot of what I'm reading in the last 24 hours is this is kind of a one-off. Okay, Boston doesn't have the size to beat Milwaukee. They're not even close. They don't have the size. We know Phoenix doesn't have the size. Kawhi's not playing next year. Do you trust AD will be healthy? Dame's leaving Portland. Now, if Dame ended up in Philadelphia, then...
Yeah, to me, the conversation isn't really the whole league.
It's Brooklyn.
Is Milwaukee going to come out of the East again next year?
And Brooklyn's the primary.
Brooklyn is the challenge.
And if Philadelphia could get Dame.
Yeah, but...
Well, I don't think that's crazy.
No, if they get Dame, yes, obviously, you have to consider Philadelphia in that space, especially considering the health and the pieces that Philadelphia already has.
Yeah.
And they have the coach.
If you
can have the other star.
Dame,
yes.
Tobias Harris, Embiid.
But right now.
With this moment,
it's Brooklyn and Milwaukee.
That's right.
And Milwaukee should be considered the favorite because Milwaukee is healthy.
Yes.
So to me, like, whatever happens in the West, that's going to be what it is. Like, who knows? There's a ton of different things that can happen.
Here's another thing. Here's what FanDuel should put up. Here's a bet I would make. Will KD, Kyrie, and Harden make it through the playoffs with full health? I would bet anything no today.
Yeah.
So when everybody goes, well, like Chris Mannix says, I'll take the Nets. Okay, you're only going to get two of them because there's no way all three of them, 82 games in the regular season, we get to the conference finals, they're all healthy.
Yeah,
those guys.
I'm not willing to write off KD and Harden completely yet. Yes, the health is obviously a huge factor and all of that, but and I'm not saying that Milwaukee won't come out of the East next year. They should be the favorites to come out of the East next year, even with Brooklyn assembled the way it is because of the health factor. And now they have the health factor and the experience and the confidence, and Giannis is now on another level. Like, for all the talk about Giannis being the face of the league, what is the face of the league? Like, to me, a face of a league is, you can ask any random person, whether they're an NBA fan or not, who's the first person they think of when they think of the NBA?
Well, Rodman had that for about a year. I think
he was never above Michael Jordan.
No, but Rodman was for that wedding years and all that goofy stuff. He was like on
like you ask a random person who's the best player in the
NBA.
Well,
best
right
player.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, this morning to me, Giannis feels like he is leading the league.
Yeah. Yes. But he is in that conversation with LeBron and Steph and KD. But he is the best player in the league right now. He is the champ and the MVP. Not this year, obviously, but two-time MVP. Like, he is the face by that criteria to me.
Yeah.
Now, how long will that last for? Who knows? We'll see. Yeah. That's on them. So Tom Brady caused quite a stir recently when he talked about a team that passed on him during free agency to keep their current quarterback. He said he thought, you're sticking with that. Bleep, 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 bleep. Well, he's keeping the identity of the team to himself, but he told Jim Gray he does still use it as motivation. He said, there's private things for me that are going to remain motivational. They know who they are. Everyone has a choice. I think what you realize is there's not as many smart people as you think. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, hey, you've got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team or Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. No, thanks. We're good. I love this version of Tom Brady. I mean, look, he has nothing to apologize for. He's the king. Just like Giannis is the king right now, Tom Brady is the king right now. Until you knock him off, that's the way that it is. The Niners, the Titans, Chargers, Bears, and Raiders were all rumored to be interested in Tom Brady during free agency. You, through your deductive reasoning,
well,
landed
I had
on the Bears.
So I had an early dinner last night with an NFL general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that the final two teams were Tampa Bay and the team I had dinner with last night. I can't give up all my sources. By the way, I got so much information. I have like 30 Rolodexes in this gigantic brain of mine I'm going to unveil over the next 2 weeks.
You always do this.
I'm just telling you, there were two teams in the end, and I had dinner with one of the teams. Doesn't mean it's who you think it is.
Well, I agree with you, Tom. There are not as many smart people out there as you think.
There aren't.
There are definitely
I've had
not.
Some. We're lucky now. I've had some meathead bosses. We got the
You
got
to have smart people.
Oh, I've had some bosses. Woo!
So the college football playoff could be expanding from the current 4-team format to a 12-team format in the future. Obviously, COVID might have played a small role in that, having to make up some money. But one person who is very unhappy with that potential change is Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney.
Our team wasn't for it. They don't want to play more games. And to be honest with you, I don't think there's 12 teams good enough. So you got to play more games just to play more games. And I think the more you expand it, the less important the season becomes.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to hear it. I just don't. I don't want to hear it. Of all the complaining about NBA super teams and superstars and pompous and arrogant and the sport with the least amount of parity in the world is college football.
But first of all, I agree there are not 12 teams good enough to win the national title, but there are also not 16 teams good enough to win the NBA title. But you still have them in.
Yeah.
You create these because you want it when you create a playoff system. The reason basketball has 68 college basketball because they have 370 programs. College football's got 130, so 12 is enough. But you don't create this just for the final day of the year. When you create any playoff for any sport, you want to keep the drama as long as you can in the regular
season. Keep the most amount of fan bases and markets engaged and interested. That's why I like the play-in tournament.
Yes. So what Dabo is saying is, if you can't win, why be in it? But holistically for the sport, I would have no problem with a 2014 playoff, knowing the top four seeds get byes.
Right.
You're creating a playoff to engender yourself to like the Pac-12, which no longer feels they can mostly compete.
We already know who's going to be in the championship game or close to the championship game every single year before the college season even starts. That's not good for the sport. Now, do people still watch college football? Of course. Are you still going to love your college team? Of course. But this isn't, people have been pushing for this forever because it doesn't feel fair. And when things don't feel fair, people don't respond well to it.
I would argue college football has hit a total ceiling with ratings. The championship game now gets about a 16, and that's one game. USC Texas got a 22. The sport stopped growing. Because Denver West, the ratings are down because Pac-12 teams don't compete. So you want Pac-12 teams, one or two, in the playoffs so you get these Seattle,
you want the whole
LA,
country engaged.
Yes, and college football's gotten incredibly southern. I don't have a problem with the South, but it can't be a one-region sport. It's basically Ohio State and the SEC.
Listen, some things are just about money and for the health of the sport.
That's
and
right.
Maybe it doesn't necessarily benefit you right now because you have to play a couple extra games and you're better. Well, maybe you just have to be a little bit more competitive. Hard yeah. work, right?
Right. Work harder, nobody cares. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
All right,
news.
I hand out my report cards for the finals. We'll talk about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Driven to be the best? Try M-Drive Boost and Burn. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, mdriveformen.com, mdriveformen.com. So last night, Giannis carried him to the finish line. Joy, we're going to hand out report cards.
Okay. Mike Budenholzer.
I've been very critical of him throughout the playoffs. I'm going to give him an A-. First of all, he overcame deficits in all but one series. So there's some, he didn't overreact. He was a believer in this is what we do and we do it well. I also thought in game two, when he just put Drew Holiday and Chris Paul for the next three games, it literally changed the momentum of the series and it wore down Chris Paul. So I would have given him a C- early, but he never panicked. The Drew Holiday to Chris Paul move was everything. And he tried at least once, it may have been two times in the finals, he put a lineup on the floor that had not been used all regular season or the playoffs.
Ooh, a lot of pressure on him going into these playoffs. Chris Paul.
I think in the end, C to a C+. Here's the reality. He led all players in turnovers. He had 21 in the finals. And they were outscored. The Suns were by 11 when he was on the court in the finals. The only Suns starter with a negative plus minus. So I thought he played very well last night and very well early in the series. But in the crucial games, games 2, 3, 4, and 5, there were times he was a liability on the floor and was kind of disengaged in a couple of first halves. So I'd say C.
Chris Middleton.
I've been very critical. Chris, I almost flunked you out. But you were the teacher's pet in this finals. You get an A-. In the end, he led all players in the finals with three-pointers and minutes played. And here's where Chris Middleton doesn't get a lot of respect. He plays his butt off defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Middleton plays real defense. And that's so you have the best defensive player in the league, and Middleton and Drew Holiday and P.J. Tucker are plus defenders. but nobody talks about Middleton as a defender because Drew and Giannis are so out. They could be the best defenders at the positions in the league. Middleton, defense takes him from a B-plus to an A-minus player.
DeAndre Ayton.
It's his first fight. It's a big spot for him. He couldn't stop Giannis, so a B-minus. He couldn't stop Giannis. Didn't have a lot of help. And he shot his lowest field goal percentage in any round of the playoffs. He did average 14 and 12. This was a lot to ask of him. You know, when Saric got hurt, they needed Kaminsky, Frank Kaminsky. So he was in a rough spot. He was also on the losing end of a couple of those iconic plays,
yeah,
which didn't help him.
Most people can't stop Giannis, so.
Yeah.
Jrue Holiday.
Good, solid B+. Now, he could not shoot last night. Now, Drew's shooting is, at times, regrettable. But he had the highest plus-minus of any player in the finals, including Giannis. When he was on the floor, Phoenix's offense struggled. He had the most assists, not Chris Paul. He had the most assists by any player in the finals. Now, why isn't he an A? He had a couple of stinkers from the floor. He did not shoot the ball effectively in multiple games.
Monty Williams.
Good B, good solid B. He lost four straight games, and there were some questions about making some moves throughout the series, staying with Chris Paul maybe too long. I thought his hands were tied a little bit when one of his bigs got hurt. You know, they were up 2-0 and lost the next four, so that's a B.
Devin Booker.
I'll surprisingly give him a B+. When you get to the finals or conference finals, the last 3 minutes of games matter. He played way too much hero ball to close out games. The 31 field goal attempts and just two attempts, two assists. Think about this. 31 shots, two assists in the fourth quarter of the finals. Now, he was great. Didn't play great last night. But he had back-to-back 40-point games in games 4 and 5. But where he can really refine as a player, and Kawhi did this. It used to be you gave the ball to Kawhi, you never got it back. I mean, he averaged like one assist for the first 5 years in the league. Devin has got to be able, it took Michael and Kobe a while, he's got to be a little better vision, and some of this will be if he trusts teammates more. But I thought at the end of games, little too much hero ball.
Finally, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I thought about this a lot. I'm going to give him an A.
No, A plus?
Well, he came in hurt. So what really happened is he dominated middle to the end of the series. He was unstoppable. But he came off a knee injury. He had the alley-oop, the iconic block, a 50-point closeout game. Listen, I am a hard grader. I do not give A pluses.
Mm.
Because I want Giannis. Because, you know, I don't want him to get soft.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, if he doesn't get an A+, he's going to...
You know,
gonna,
I don't want his work ethic to go down the tank.
He's silk sheets guy moving forward.
Yeah. So, I want him to work hard in the off season. So, as a teacher, I feel a responsibility. I almost give you A+. I will say this. The free throw shooting is an issue. Now, last night he was Larry Bird.
Right.
Yeah, that was stupid. I mean, I literally sat there. I'm thinking, you got to give me a break. And not only was he making them, they were going swish.
I loved it. I love when players do that. I love when we all say they have a hole in their game or something that they can't do, and they just go out in the biggest moment and crush.
But he came in with an injury, missed a lot of free throws, but it's a good solid A for him. Enjoy spa-like comfort. Save big in your water bill. TanklessMadeSimple.com. Navient and the Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Of course, it's Wednesday. Be a sub above. I've already devoured mine. So now tomorrow, we're back to NFL. Now, we got the NBA draft coming up. It's a very good draft.
Yeah.
It's a really good draft. Warriors have two lottery picks. We got NBA free agency. Aaron Rodgers may have another issue. And we'll probably talk more about this. This was fun today.
It was a great, great show. Amazing finals.
I want to thank all of our sponsors as Milwaukee's best radio show the last 4 weeks. The Herd.